a heart and in my mind that's kind of very special about this. We're dealing with the home. We're dealing with 10 steps that'll really build everybody's home and strengthen America. In fact, these 10 steps would change the way that our country would vote if they were all used, understood, and experienced. Kind of to give you a little bit of a background on this verse, we're going to be looking at the opportunity par excellence. It's going to be found in Exodus chapter 20. And as Todd read earlier, "You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain." Kind of a get the mind and the juices flowing. What does that mean? Well, some would say that means don't cuss anybody. Hey, that's good. Because you know what, in many of the places in which I travel and the people in which I deal with, I hear the name of the Lord taken in vain. Do I like it? Absolutely not. Do I speak about telling people don't many times? Do I always do it? And the answer is no. But what I do know is that when people, the attitude that people use the name of Jesus, it can be taking the name of the Lord in vain. In other words, how many times do you hear somebody say something and they just use Jesus as an exclamation point? Or they use God as a, what about OMG? Did you know what that means? What does it mean? That's right. And when somebody speaks a name like that in just kind of an off the cuff, that's taking God's name in vain. Because what you're recognizing is the value, the attitude in which we speak the name is very much taking, we have to watch by not be careful not to take God's name in vain. And God has many names in which He uses. In your bulletin, there was a host. That's going to be a free exercise for you, and you can take that exercise in your family and you can discover, I called it search and seizure, go find the name of God and then seize it. And inside of that, you'll begin to recognize and you will discover some very, very unique things about God. Well, the attitude in which we say the name of God, the actions in which we use that follow with the name of God. But then there's something even, there's another level. And that's what God really brought to my attention, that new level of understanding about the name of God. Thou shalt not take the name of thy God in vain. What does that mean? That means that God has given to each of us the names of God which relate the character of God so that we might perform the glory to God. Now think about that just for a moment. If God gives you a name, then what He's doing, He's revealing His character to you. When He reveals His character to you, then you can give Him glory and honor by responding to that character that He revealed to you. Now, it's not a smorgasbord. God reveals the name, and then we are to use the name of God. And we are to apply the character in which He revealed to us. For instance, Moses, when he was about to, he just had the experience of the burning bush. And God said, go lead my people out to eat. Go lead them out to the promised land. And Moses is going to say, well, who am I? What name am I supposed to go back and tell them? God Almighty told Moses, tell them, I am hath sent you. That was the name of God. Tell them, I am hath sent you. So what does that mean? Now, when he goes back and he tells the people, I am hath sent me to deliver you, then the choice becomes, am I going to value the name of God or am I going to take God's name in vain? If they respond to the name and to the character of God, then there's victory. And when there's victory, then God gets the glory. But if they say no, if they don't respond to the character, then God says this. God says, I will not hold him guiltless who does not take, who takes my name in vain. If God reveals to you his character, and you do not respond to his character, then you have taken the name of God in vain. And the word vain means to show less value. We're going to deal with that in a little bit. But that name of God, you are not giving the name of God its full worth, characteristic in victory. Okay, how does all these things fit together? Let's talk about them first of all. Number one, remember the way we use God's name. The attitude in which we use God's name. The action in which we use God's name. And then we find the aptitude. You might even say the altitude. The aptitude in which we take the name of God. The aptitude in which we take the name of God is going to say, God, we hear your name, we understand it, and now we respond to it in total commitment. When you do that, then God gets the glory. If you don't, he says, I'm not going to hold you guiltless. I'm going to hold you responsible for my revelation to you. So what are we talking about? We're talking about opportunity par excellence. What are we talking about? Opportunity par excellence opens the mind by creating light in which one can intentionally obey the great demands of a great salvation provided for an individual, a home, or a society. Devaluing the name of God removes the opportunity from the created individual, which God will not hold him guiltless. Okay, let me give you a scripture. James 4:17 says, for him that knows to do right and does not do it, y'all finish it, to him it is sin. Okay, to him it is sin. And so therefore, when God gives you his name, when if you exercise the character found in the name of God, then he gets the glory. If you don't exercise the name, then what happens? You've taken it in vain, and for you and for me, it is sin. This commandment right here can be tied to all 10 commandments. You break any one of the commandments, and you break this commandment. Think about that just for a moment. Now, how does this work? What is the objective? A clear directive is verifiable regarding the revelation. He said in Exodus 20, he says, you shall not take. It's verifiable. In other words, by your words, by your actions, it can be verified whether you are taking God's name in vain or not. And so therefore you ought to say, my whole life is given to God. That's the reason why he said the great commandment. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. And then thy neighbor as thyself is the second. But all of this comes back. It's verifiable. Secondly, the valuable character of God, when optimizes in victory, honors God, honors and glorify God. You shall not take the name of the Lord. The second one was the revelation optimizes the valuable character of God by taking the name of God in victory. Worshiping God in spirit and in truth recognizes the value of the character of God as revealed in his names. You shall not take the name of the Lord. Optimizing, capturing, measurable. The valuable character of God when optimized is victory. And that honors God. You should not take the name of the Lord your God. There's only one God. In a small group this morning, we understood God is the only way. Jesus Christ is the only way. So therefore, if I'm going to exercise opportunity par excellence, understanding the name and the character of God, I've got to know that it's verifiable. I got to optimize it. I've got to know the value of that character, because taking the name of the Lord God in vain may be characterized by definition. I just looked up the word vain. What does that mean? All of a sudden, things begin to start popping. What does it mean? It means excessively proud. Excessively. When you take the name of God in vain, you are excessively proud. And y'all know the people who come up and they pray a prayer that God will never answer. Y'all know what the prayer that God will never answer? GD, y'all know that. God will never answer that prayer. And so many people pray it. And what are they doing? They're being excessively proud. And by doing that, then that is the same thing that qualified Lucifer for being the devil himself. That is excessive proud. I call it dumb, and they call it excessive proud. But yet, that's what people will do. Taking the name of God in vain. Secondly, it's unsuccessful. Failing to have or unlikely to have an intended desire of results. When you take God's name in vain, you're not going to get the result that you were thinking about. Case in point, Judas Iscariot finds a way in which he can get his hands on some money. So he goes, and he goes to the high priest and the leaders, and he sells out Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. What was the desired result? To get the money. But what did he end up doing? After he saw that Jesus was condemned to death, what did he do? He took the 30 pieces of silver, he went back to the priest and said, let him go. And they said, we don't care about it. And he threw the blood money into the temple. They took the blood money, and they couldn't put it back in the treasury because it's blood money. And so they bought the potter's field. What happened? They did not receive the desired result. When you take God's name in vain, you will not get the result you think you're going to get. You may get the reaction of somebody, but you're also capturing the attention of God Almighty, and the result that you're going to get is not what you expect. Thirdly, the word vain means empty of substance. This is what qualified the Pharisees and the Sadducees to be leaders of the blind. Jesus said, do what they tell you, but don't do as they do. Because they were empty of substance. They may have known the right words, but their life reflected tragedy. So what are we talking about in taking God's name in vain? We can look at a mindset. A mindset for this commandment talks about maybe the attitude. The mindset may be talking about words. But the mindset digs deeper. Digs deeper when we capture the meaning. So what is obvious about this? What's obvious? And that is the revelation. God revealed His character to you. How many names of God can you... If I asked you to name three names of God right now, could you name them? I know you could. I might have to prompt you a little bit. But there's a revelation. God has revealed Himself to you specifically in the character of His name. Secondly, there's a design. God's design uses His character to accomplish His will for glory. God's names... Or, hey, did y'all notice the little... Okay, anybody gets an A+ who can tell me what the baby's name was in the movie? Gift. All right, y'all get an A+. She got it too. Y'all get an A+ because the name Gift. Do you know that in biblical times they used to have names that were prophetic in meaning? And many times what we talk about today is your nickname. Many times your nickname kind of reflects who you are. And sometimes it don't. I call my daughter Pumpkin. Her husband calls him Munchkin. Okay, she's little. Okay, but anyhow, that was descriptive. But think about this. God designed you. Very special. And so therefore God designs Jesus' character, His character, to accomplish His glory. Thirdly, there's creation. God created man to bring him honor and glory, not bring you honor and glory. God created man to bring him honor and glory in creation. Can you see that? God's revelation. Can you see that? God's design. Can you see that? You are God's creation. And then He gives us the application. God provided man with the will and the ability to accomplish His work and His will. Application. God doesn't just give you His name just to be read. God gives you His name to be acted upon. And then, if you don't give it worth, then there's accountability. God holds a man accountable when he does not act upon the character and the revealed name of God. Now let's take some of these things into focus. Let's look at it just for a moment. Apply the definition to the individual. Let's talk about vain. Excessively proud. Man begins to build up himself as self-worship. He seeks independence and he wants to move away from Creator God. Even though God gave him the name, man wants to move away from it. For example, when you deny the existence of God, then what do you got to do? If you deny the existence of God, then you got to put another set of teaching in there that's going to define what you believe. That's where we get evolution from. That's where we get false gods from. When you deny the name of God as an individual, you got to move away. You got to put a substitute in there. And you become excessively proud when you say, well, this is what I believe. Hey, look, folks. What does the Word say? So we're looking at that. Unsuccessful mark. When a man says he gains the whole world. Unsuccessful, he may gain the whole world. And even lose his own soul. Let me tell you what this world's going to give you. What does the world give a man after the breath leaves him? Corruption. His body begins to break down and he becomes dust. He gave himself to the world. And what did the world give in return? Nothing. Dust. You see, unsuccessful, he thought that all the toys, like the bumper sticker that says, he who has the most toys at the end wins. But what does he win? Handful of dust. And then there's the emptiness of substance characterized by the person who walks without giving God the glory. For instance, you can be a rich man in Lazarus. Y'all remember the story. How the rich man, he had everything in Lazarus. The dogs would lick his sores, but yet he was at the feet and he was just eating the crumbs that fell from the table. But when death came, the rich man went to hell, Lazarus went to heaven. What's that? The rich man was empty of substance, but Lazarus went to heaven. Well, when you think about marriage, excessively proud moves God out of the number one position in creating competition by substitutes, replacements, and neglect and abuse. In the marriage, what happens when we take the name of God in vain? We begin to substitute. For instance, let's take the man's eyes. Scripture says, if your right eye offends you, what do? Pluck it out. If your right hand offends you, what do? Cut it off. You see, that's what he teaches us in marriage, because he says, look, when other things take the place of God, then they begin to do substitute, replacement, neglect, and he says, get rid of it. Such as unsuccessful results occurs when God's name is not held in victory, because what happens? Because there's meism, there's money, there are in-laws, and there's things like this that come into conflict, empty of substance. Think about the marriage. Empty of substance characterizes the marriage with the priority of worshiping God loses the capacity to love through the opportunity par excellence. Now, what do you mean by that? Okay. All right, ladies. Ladies and gentlemen, let's just say, opportunity par excellence means the best, okay? God wants to provide you the best. Now, in your marriage, let's look. You got a 100% trustworthy moral, 100%, okay? That's what, in marriage, right? Okay, ladies, are you going to allow your husband to be 25% untrustworthy? Meaning messing around. Do y'all understand what I'm talking about? It's 25%? No. 50%? No. 75%? No. 95%? No, you're not. It's going to be 100% trustworthy. 100%. Your marriage, you don't want your husband messing around. So, what does the Bible teach us? God requires us 100% par excellence. And any messing around with other gods is not acceptable. God says, I'm going to reveal my character to you so that you will not be empty of substance. In the society, people are trying to rewrite history. Oh, terrible things are happening. For instance, a Muslim girl was shot because she wanted to go to school. There's so much to be said about Satan's fib about women's lib, but we won't go there this morning. But what I want you to do is pack up and look at the opportunity par excellence. Because opportunity par excellence opens the mind to experience the presence of God. God wants you to see it all. He doesn't want you to be blinded. He doesn't want you to be looking through rosy-tinted glasses. He wants opportunity par excellence says, open the mind to experience the presence of God. Secondly, opportunity par excellence, and this is God revealing Himself to us, creates a light in the home for fulfillment, security, and relationship, and communication, and purpose. God creates light in His name. Also, opportunity par excellence requires the intentional obedience to the revelation of God. In other words, when God puts the name out there, He expects you to live by the name that He revealed unto you. He never would have given you the name unless it was worth, unless it was meaning, unless it was going to bring about change. So therefore, intentional obedience is required. Number four, it defines the salvation provided for the survival of a society. Example, when God's name is lifted up, peace comes into the country and the people are happy. But when unrighteousness rules, then the people will grumble. That's Scripture. That's Scripture. So what He does by using His name, He defines this great salvation that is there. Opportunity par excellence also offers the zenith of creation. Two people fail to exercise the opportunity. Nothing can replace it. The zenith of creation is the revelation of God's character through His names. It doesn't get better than that. That's creation. Opportunity par excellence also warns against inattention. In other words, He's telling us mediocrity is unacceptable. Let me read you the text, Hebrews chapter 2. Therefore, we ought to give more earnest heed to the things we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, here it is. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard Him, God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders and with divers miracles and the gifts of the Holy Ghost according to His own. Here's the point. How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? What is the implication? We will not escape. So it's brought into us to help us to understand these things. And you know what the good news is? I got 10 more points of this message and I ran out of paper for y'all to write on. Oh no, you say, what in the world? Yeah. Let me give you 10 things real happily, real fast. 10 steps to victory. Value or vain? What is that? Number one, financial problems. Does anybody have financial problems? God has a cure for that. It's called Yahweh Yireh. The Lord will provide. You have communication problems. We have El Shaddai, God Almighty. Do you have family relationship problems? Family problems with children and parents-in-laws and siblings and stepchildren. We have Yahweh Nisi. The Lord is my banner, which stresses a rally point and the victory. Do you have sexual problems in your marriage? He has Yahweh Makadeshim. In other words, the Lord your sanctifier, that God has created you. Do you have close friend problems in your marriage in which it's causing trouble? We have El Elan, the Most High God. God stresses God's strength on the Most High. Do you have addiction problems? Drug, alcohol, gambling, abusive, of all these sorts. We have Yahweh Roi, the Lord is my shepherd. Do you have abuse problems that are never acceptable in marriage? We have Yahweh Shalom, the Lord is peace. Yahweh Sabaoth, the Lord of hosts. Do you have personality problems? We have El Olam, the everlasting Father. Do you have expectation problems in marriages? We have Yahweh Sekenu, the Lord of righteousness, portrays the Lord as the means of righteousness. We have Theos, meaning God. He's the only true, unique, transcendent Lord, Savior. Do you have time problems? We have Yahweh Shama, the Lord is here, that portrays the Lord's personal presence in the millennial kingdom. We have Kurios, the Greek name for Lord, which stresses authority and supremacy. Did you identify with any of those? Did you identify with financial problems? The number one cause in divorce. Did you identify communication problems? The number two cause in divorce. Family problems with siblings and in-laws and stepchildren. Sexual problems, friend problems, addiction problems, abuse problems. Personality, expectation, time problems. All of these have led to the breaking down of a multitude of marriages. And God has said something very plain. Here's my name. And if you will understand my name, my character, I will bring victory. When the name of God is lifted up, there's value. When it is taken in vain, there's judgment. What do we do in our marriages and in our homes? We take the name of God with us. Let's pray. Father, today you have revealed yourself to us. And there is not a problem. No problem that comes into existence that cannot be defeated, overcome, and find victory, and God get the glory, if we would only just take the name of God and give it value. So, Lord, as we approach, let us seek the name of God in victory. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Today I do encourage you. I encourage you, discover the name of God. Do a search. Do a seizure. Act upon Him. Never, never take it in vain. And the greatest way that you can honor the name of God is through His Son, Jesus Christ. And if you will give your life to Jesus Christ, then He will give you eternal life. Do not take His name and think it is without worth, vain, inappropriate. God's name, Jesus, is life-giving. There's life in the name of Christ. Would you give your life today to Jesus? Is your home hitting bumps? Would you commit today to seek the name of God? The character revealed, and then put it into practice. At school, at home, at work, in relationships. Take the name of Jesus with you. There's victory. There's victory. Maybe some have other decisions you'd like to make today. The prayer altars are open. We invite you to bless the name of God. Let's stand as we sing.